I better check my schedule here and make sure I'm doing things right. Okay, we're supposed to bow for prayer. So let's pray to our Creator God. Ever-merciful God, Creator, Sustainer, Provider, Savior, thank you for revealing yourself to us, your chosen people. Thank you for revealing yourself through your creation, through your precious word. Thank you that we know the truth, God. We have been granted that revelation from you through your word. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who resides in each one of us. Thank you that we know that you are with us 24/7 and from here to eternity. We just thank you so much. And we have much to be thankful for. I think of the nation we live in, Canada. There are people from all over the world doing whatever they can to come to this country. And those of us, or a lot of us, that live in this country take it so much for granted. Please, God, remind us that we have been blessed. Blessed beyond measure comparatively to most nations in this world. And especially I think of our locality right here within Canada even. We are unscathed pretty much by a lot of the natural disasters and unrest and conflict and everything else bad that's going on within our world. So we thank you, God, for we need to be reminded. We are human, and humans right from the get-go, as we've read in your word, your Israelite people who you saved from their bondage were nothing but grumblers and whiners. That sounds familiar to me. I know I am guilty. I know we are guilty. Please, God, give us ever thankful hearts. For as your word tells us, to give thanks in all things. It sounds hard for us to do, but it's not impossible. So we give you thanks, God. Please accept our thanks and our praise. And thank you for the blessings you've bestowed upon our church family here. Things are growing. Things are uplifting, positive. Not everything's perfect that by any means, but we can see your hand at work, God. We thank you. We thank you for the many guest speakers that you've sent in our last number of years now. You speak through us, through them, and we appreciate all you've done for us. Thank you for hearing our prayers, God, and answering them in the only way that you can, your perfect and holy way. You have all the resources, the strength, the wisdom. We have no hope anywhere else other than in you. So thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them in your perfect way. Please accept our offerings, not just resources, financial, but our time and our talents as well. Please help us to be cheerful givers in all aspects, God, for you have given us so much. So help us to give you our time, our talents, our resources, to serve you in however you call us. And we just give you thanks and praise. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we have the scripture reading. It comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Let's hear the word of God. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Here ends the reading. Now it's my privilege to introduce our guest speaker this morning. His name is Chris Cochran. He's a local. He lives here in Mount Forest, I understand. And he is a husband, a father of two married young men, and the grandfather to one amazing young toddler. He enjoys hiking and cycling with his wife, Priscilla, during the spring and fall seasons anyways. But during the winter season, he is left on his own to snow in the snow and the cold. I guess he's the diehard in the family. Chris is an experienced pastor and teacher who engages people with compassion, respect, and grace as he shares the good news of Jesus. He has also spent a decade on the road as a family evangelist, traveling with his family, sharing the gospel across parts of Canada and the U.S. His heart's desire is to see people come to a personal relationship with Jesus and live a life of love for God and their neighbors. Well, this sounds like a good man to have here this morning. Thank you, Chris, and I'll pass the mic over to you.
All right, thank you.
Not literally.
How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody awake? Anybody want to go back to bed? One or two of you. How many of you got caught in that good old time change where we have to spring ahead? Anybody miss church because of it? One or two of you did. Here's a news flash, and I have to tell myself this every year. It happens every year. But I rely on the radio, or more importantly, Hockey Night in Canada, because they always announce it on Saturday night, hey, the time changes. So if you ever wonder when the time changes in around this time every year, watch Hockey Night in Canada. They'll let you know whether you get an extra hour of sleep or you lose an hour of sleep. Or if the U.S. finally decides not to change time and everybody gets the same time frame, that would be ideal. No time change. So who here is into sports? Anybody? Who plays hockey? Who used to play hockey? Some of you? All right. I ask, generalize everybody, because my grandmother years ago used to play hockey. So I'm not just looking at the men. I know ladies play hockey too. We have an excellent ladies hockey program. How many of you compete, say, in music recitals? Anybody compete in those as you grew up? A few of you have. I know Mrs. Broomhead teaches and competes and does all that fun stuff. How many of you like to lose? Anybody here like to lose? You go into the day and you think, okay, we play this game today. All right, we're going to lose. I don't think there's any of us that go into the game thinking, all right, we're going to lose, unless you play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are my team, but last night, oh man, anyhow, that's another story. But I don't think there's any of us that like to lose, and we don't go into competitions with the mindset of, today I'm going to lose. We go in with the mindset, I'm going to win. Because winning feels good. Years ago, I was with Ted, and we took martial arts together, and he was one of the instructors, and we went into tournaments together. No, I never went into a karate tournament thinking, you know what, it's okay if I come second. I think I'll come in third today to make somebody else feel better. No, I went in to win. I was in it to win it. And that is the mindset that all of us need to have when it comes to our spiritual life. We need to be in it to win it. How many of you have gone through a day and at the end of the day you're crawling into bed and you reflect on your day and you think, man, I messed up today. Anybody been there? And all of a sudden that thing called guilt and shame begins to roll around in our head and we start to feel, oh man, I did it again. I blew it. I didn't win the day. Today, we want to look at nine ways, and no, I'm not going to take you until 5 o'clock looking at nine different things, but we want to look at nine different scripture passages to help us win the day spiritually. So come the end of the day, when we crawl into bed, we can go, hey, you know what? I won the day. I was victorious. I don't need to crawl into bed feeling guilt and shame because of the things that I did. Win the day. It is possible. Zig Ziglar said this, you were born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win. So keep that in mind. You were born to win, you prepare to win, and you go into your day expecting to win, not expecting to be defeated. But you go in with your head held high thinking, this is the day. Yes, the Lord's made it. Because he's made it, I'm going to get through this day victorious. Duncan Campbell, there is no easy way to victory. The highest values in life must be fought for and won. Fought for and won. So keep this in mind as we delve into the realm of winning the day spiritually. Winning begins and ends with time, with energy, with focus, with commitment, and an attitude that says, I will win this day because Christ in me makes me a winner. Christ in you makes you a winner. So here we go, nine different scripture verses that we can pull from to help us win the day. And this is not an exhaustive list, because we know that scripture from Genesis to Revelation is filled with stories of people that stumbled and fell but became winners because they realized where their strength and their hope came from. So number one on our list, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three words, never stop praying. From the time your feet hit the floor until the time you lay your head down, allow your heart and your mind to be set on things above. Focus on the Lord. Take time to pray. Talk with him. But not only talk with him, as each of us are aware, prayer is talking, but it's also listening. It's having ears to hear as God speaks his truth into our heart. So begin your day with the knowledge that you need assistance. That you need God's help to make it through the day to win the day. Because on our own, we can't win. The sin nature that is within us is set on doing its own thing, serving its own purpose. But when we constantly have our minds set on prayer, we are going this way, not focusing on here. So to win the day, have a mindset of prayer. Set your mind on things that are above. Allow the author and the perfecter of our faith to transform us. As you talk, we listen, he speaks, we live, and we learn. So number one, to win the day, never stop praying. Focus on the one that can help you and the one that has already won. Number two, Psalms 150 and 6. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord all day long. And now this goes hand in hand with praying. Praying and praising. We take time to give thanks to the Lord in all things. We say, hey, Lord, thanks for another day to serve you, to live for you, to love you, to learn, to love my neighbor. We exalt him and praise him. Again, it's a reset for our mind. So throughout the day, we can pray, but we can also praise. If we start feeling a little bit low and things of the world are starting to press in, we can lift our heart and praise. And if you're in a business or a corporation, you may not want to sing out loud. But you can always sing in your heart. And you can always raise your voice to him and say, Lord, I give you thanks for another day. For this is a day you have made. And what I will give thanks in this day, I will exalt you and I will praise you. So to win the day, pray. To win the day, praise. And number three, if you love me, obey my commandments. John 14 and 15. When it comes to athletics, you need to abide by the rules if you're going to win. And if you don't abide by the rules, then you're not going to win. Now, I've been involved in the cycling community since 2011, and I've competed in different races, whether it's the road race or a mountain bike race. And the biggest race of all in cycling, and it's not one I've ever been in, nor will ever be in, is the Tour de France. And there is an individual, and you may or may not have heard of him, his name is Lance Armstrong. Now, Lance won the Tour de France 7 times. And as time went by, those 7 Tour de France victories were taken away. And Lance is known in the record books as the man that cheated. And all his victories were wiped away. Because he broke the rules. He didn't abide by the rules. He was focused only on himself and his need to win. When it comes to you and I winning the day, we need to live a life of love. We need to allow our love for Jesus to be put into action. Active love is active faith. Live your life according to his commandments, not your sin nature. Living a life of obedience puts us on a fast track to the winning circle and allows us to stand there with our head held high. Back in 2019, Priscilla and I went down to Daytona. And I am not a NASCAR fan. I'm not into racing. But since we were in Daytona, we did what you do. We went and we toured the facility where they hold the Daytona 500. And it's quite the complex. The seating area, and they take you around the track and they show you where the track is and where the media goes. But the last thing they do is they put you in the winner's circle. And of course, since I was at Daytona and I was in the winner's circle, I took a picture. When you're in the winner's circle, you might as well take a picture because winning is what you want to do. But it's about abiding by the rules. If you're in Daytona or if you're in the Tour de France, if you don't follow the rules, you don't win. And if you do win, and when they find out that you broke the rules, that win is taken from you. But for us to win the day spiritually, we need to live a life of love for Jesus. And that life is a life of obedience, following his commandments. And that's why it's so important for all of us, young and old alike, to take time to read God's word. Whether you do it with a hard copy or whether you do it on your phone or whether you do it on an iPad, however you read the Bible, but make sure you do it every day. So you know what his word says, so you can live according to his commandments and live out your love. Active love is active faith. And number four goes right along with number three. Memorize scripture. Psalms 119, 11 through 16. And I'm sure some of you here may know this. I have hidden your word in my heart that I what? Might not sin against you. I praise you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In school, we study our books, we read our books, we listen to our teacher so we can learn. And if you're anything like me in math class, it didn't matter how much the teacher taught me, I just didn't get math. Anybody like me where you really were uncertain why X plus Y equaled Z? I never got that. It never made sense to me. Why do I care if X plus Y equals Z? Is that going to benefit me? Now, this is my mindset in grade 10, 11, and 12. How's that going to benefit me in life? I learn enough to pass. I got out of math. I got out of English, those subjects that just kind of went, eh. So I didn't really learn it. But in order for us to win the day, we need to learn what Scripture says. I don't need a show of hands, but how many of you take time daily not only to read God's word, but to memorize it? To take it from here and put it in here. So as your day unfolds, God reminds you of those words that are within his word to help you change and to transform. How many of you have John 3:16 memorized? How many of you know what John 3:17 says? Ted does. How many of you know what Genesis 1:1 says? Most of us. There are certain verses that we take hold of. They jump off the page, or they're often said. But we need to take all of God's word and read it through. And I do get it that some books are kind of boring. Like Numbers. Just doesn't jump off the page and go, read me now. But all God's word is what we need to take in, to read, to study, to understand, so we can win the day. And when you have it memorized, it's a whole lot easier than going, is this something I should do? Is this something I shouldn't do? How can I help you if I don't know what the word says? I carry the Bible. Let me look it up. But when you have it in here, you can draw from it and God can bring it back to your memory. So, number four, memorize God's word. Number five, that it's a matter of faith. And it's the verse that we had read, Rob read. 1 John 5:4-5. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So only those who have faith in Jesus can win the battle against the world, because Jesus has overcome the world. And we put our faith and our hope and trust in him, we become victorious because we have victory through him. We have the forgiveness of sin through him. So if we want victory in our life, we need to have faith. It's a matter of faith. And without faith, there is no victory. There is no victory over sin for any of us. But it's with faith in Jesus that we have victory. And we're coming into the Easter season. And what a season it is. As we realize through Jesus' death and resurrection, through that faith in what he did for us, we have victory over sin. Victory over death. It's all because of what he did. Not because of anything we've done, but what he did. So if we stand in faith and we live in faith, then we have victory. So go into each day knowing because of the faith that you have in Jesus, you have victory over sin. And sin doesn't need to defeat you, but you can defeat it every day. Every day. Number six, transform your thinking. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many of you have a set way that you think? You have a certain way that you have to do things because it makes life easier. It's a set pattern of thinking. We go through periods in life where we do this, 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 and this because it makes life easier. But sometimes we need to change that pattern. We need to change the way that we think. And the only way spiritually that we can change the way that we think is when we allow God to change our thinking patterns, to transform our thoughts. So let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And again, this goes back on being reliant and dependent on God, and acknowledging the fact that we cannot do it on our own. We need his help. So to move from being defeated to being victorious, we need to say, God, transform me. This is working in unison with him, acknowledging your need, acknowledging what he can do, and then saying, Lord, here I am, change me. And as he changes you and as he transforms you, you need to live there. You need to allow your new way of thinking to become your way of thinking as he transforms you. Saying goodbye to the old you and hello to the new you. I know most of us like new clothes, am I right? Anybody like old clothes? Some of us like old clothes because they're comfortable. As I've grown up, I've had two hockey jerseys disappear. Once when I was a kid, it just disappeared out of my house. Mom said she didn't know where it went. Yeah, I don't know. I can't believe that the washer ate it. And I had another one that disappeared. But it was comfortable. It had holes in it. It looked sloppy, but I still wore it. See, that's the problem with some of our old ways. Our ways, we get comfortable in them. We don't want to change. We don't want to get rid of them. Because, you know, that old jersey, those jeans that are falling apart, they just fit right and they're comfortable. Why would I want to get rid of something that I feel comfortable in? And our sin nature gets that way. We get comfortable in it. We become accustomed to it. But God says, full stop. No, I don't want you comfortable in your own ways. I want you to transform your thinking so you become renewed in my ways. So you develop and transform and change to the person that I want you to be. So you become comfortable in the transformed person, knowing that you're becoming the person that God wants you to be. So discarding the old, having those old ways, those old jerseys disappear into the garbage and allow his ways, his new ways of thinking to transform you and to change you. So to win the day, let God change the way that you think, so you can become the person he wants you to be. Number 7, walk in step with Holy Spirit. Now, as Rob mentioned, and like every good grandparent, I brag about my grandson. He's the smartest, the coolest 2-year-old you will ever meet. And yes, I'm bragging. And if I had a picture, I would have had the guys throw it up on the screen and say, this kid is it. But when we go out with Zion, we walk with him, and he loves to walk in step. And at times he reaches up and he takes Pop's hand or he takes Nana's hand, and we walk together in step. Now, obviously, as an adult, you have to slow down, because for every stride that I take, the little guy is trying to take about 5 or 6 or 7 to try and keep up. So you walk at his pace, and you see the world through his eyes. And you just enjoy life. But if we're to win the day, we need to walk in step with Holy Spirit. Listen to Paul's words in Galatians 5, verse 16 and 25. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your ways, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. In verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. As we take time to pray and we ask God to lead us, he speaks his truth in our hearts and leads us and directs us. But it's our responsibility to follow him, to keep in step with his leading. And if you're familiar with Galatians 5, between verse 16 and verse 25 is what we know as the fruit of the Spirit. It's godly character. How we're to live our life with gentleness and patience and kindness. All those things are to come out in us. So if we're to win the day, we need to walk in step with him and allow him to speak truth to us. So walk in step with the Spirit. Number 8. Be strong in the Lord. A final word, Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. See, winning the day spiritually depends on knowing our enemy's tactics, so that you can stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. And if you stop and you look and you take hold of Scripture, our enemy comes at us really in 3 different ways. He did kind of at the beginning of the Bible. He did so in the middle with Jesus and the temptations. And John writes this in 1 John 2:16. As we look at these things of the world, and if you're thinking, how do I win the day? Here's things to beware of. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. It all comes down to those 3 things. So when we look at our life and we're feeling tempted by things, or we're feeling drawn to things of the world, you can probably put it under one of those 3 categories. And they're the enemy's tactics. And in sports, one of the things that teams do is they watch videotape. They get to know what the other team is doing on offense and defense. So when they run plays, then they can counter their plays. The same holds true with us. When it comes to dealing with our enemy, we need to understand where he's at so we in turn can hold our ground and stand firm. And Priscilla and I have a Facebook page called Peddling Pastors. And last week I put up a post, and it's just a simple verse, and I use this verse from Ephesians, and on top of it I put the word attack. See, when the enemy comes in and he attacks us, what should we do? Do we just simply stand there? Or do we attack back? Do we stand our ground? Do we raise our shield? Do we get out our sword? And again, this is where memorizing God's word comes into play, so we can say, hey, no, not happening. Jesus, when he was tempted out in the desert, what was his way of attacking back? God's word. The devil said, hey, he said, not happening, because this is what God's word says. He stood up, he held his ground. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to know what our enemy's going to do, but we can stand our ground. We don't need to cower away to be victorious in the day. We need to know how he's coming at us, but we also know how we can win and be victorious and stand up. Put on all of God's armor, but not in our own strength, in his. To win the day, never try and do it on your own. Every day, do it in his strength. Allow him to empower you to be victorious. Number 9. Winning the day spiritually. Take the way out. Put yourself in a room that's on fire, and there's a fireman at the back door, and he's standing there, and as the flames are coming at you, he's saying, this way out. What are you going to do? Are you going to run to him, or are you going to stand there? I think all of us are going to run to where he is and say, I'm out of here. And the same holds true when it comes to our life. When we are tempted, it's like that room's on fire and God's saying, here is the exit. This way out. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. So first and foremost, Paul is saying, hey, you're not alone. We all get tempted. Look at the person to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back. They get tempted like you. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. So to win the day spiritually, we need to take the exit. Do I get there are times where we don't take the exit and we fail? Yeah, because all of us make mistakes. But to win the day spiritually, we need to hold on to this verse and these words that Paul wrote. God will provide a way out. The next step is for you and me to take the way out, to take the exit. So when you feel like you're getting angry in a situation, what do? You say, excuse me. I need to take a few minutes to myself. Change focus so when you come back, you can talk with a cool head. If you find yourself going to watch something that you know you shouldn't, he's saying, hey, hit the off button. Hit the off button. Take the way out. There will be a way out, but we need to have ears to hear. And when he says, not a good idea, it's our decision to say, okay, I'm on the way out, or I'm going to stay here. But if we're to win the day spiritually, we need to take the way out. So come the end of the day, when we get into bed, we can look back on our day and not feel guilt and shame. And if we do stumble and fall, remember, no matter who we are, we can ask for his forgiveness. And he forgives us to settle us so we can sleep. But to get through the day, we can do these things. And again, there's so much more in God's word to take a hold of so we can be victorious. Because we serve a gracious and forgiving God, that when we do stumble and fail and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And we can rest at night. So the only one who can stop you from winning the day spiritually is you. You can't blame other people. You cannot go, the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. He can whisper in your ear, but that's about it. You choose how you enter the day. You choose what you do. And if you choose to say, you know what, I'm going to wake up today because I want to be a loser, and lose this day spiritually, that's your choice. But if you wake up at the beginning of the day and say, you know what, today's the day the Lord's made, I'm going to rejoice in it, and I am going to stand with my head held high, and at the end of the day, I'm going to look back on this day and go, hey, I won. Because God is with me, he empowers me, he strengthens me, he gives me everything that I need to be victorious. Kobe Bryant, if you don't know who Kobe is, he is a basketball player who unfortunately met a tragic death. But before his passing, he said these words, the moment you give up is the moment you let someone else win. The moment you give up is the moment you let someone else win. The moment you give up spiritually, who's won? Think about it. We started with Zig Ziglar. And a quote from him, and we're going to end with him. If you don't see yourself as a winner, then you cannot perform as a winner. So as you get out of bed each day, look in the mirror, and you may have some beautiful bedhead. And that's okay. But look at yourself in the mirror and go, hey, today, this day, you are a winner. Today, this day, I am going to win this day. Because God is with me. Today, this day, I am going to be in his power and in his strength and in his armor. Today, this day, I'm going to win because I'm going to have an attitude of prayer and praise. So I am in constant contact with the Lord so he can speak his truth to me. And I can sing his praises throughout the day. Today, this day, I am going to call upon those verses that I have memorized that can benefit me in this journey that I call today. None of us wake up going, today I'm going to lose. But we want to wake up going, today I'm going to win. Today I'm going to win. I started sports when I was 4 and 5. Played soccer and hockey until I got into high school. As far back as I can remember, I never went into a game going, today's a good day to lose. When I was in public school, the night before our championship soccer game, I was sick the entire night. I had the flu. It was raining a bit outside, and thanks to my dad, come the morning time, he's like, are you feeling any better? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good to go. So we went. And we won the championship. But I went into that day going, I feel lousy, but I'm not going to lose. Uh-uh. I'm in this to win this. And so were all my friends. It was the last game, and we went and we won. And that's the mindset that I go into every sporting event I do. I am going to win. So to win the day spiritually, when you wake up, that's your mindset. I am going to win. And you might need to write it on a sticky note. And my wife has little sticky notes on different things, and they're scripture verses or sayings, just simply to empower you for the day. So if you need to write it on a sticky note and put it on your mirror, or the rear, not the rear view mirror of your car, that would not be a good thing. Maybe on the side mirror, so you know you go to look behind you. Just put that sticker that says, you're a winner. But look at it and go, I am going to win. You are a winner because Christ lives in you. He has already given you the victory. We just need to live in his victory. You can win the day by taking hold of Scripture and by putting your faith, your hope, and your trust in Jesus, who's won it all on our behalf. You are a winner. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word, that we can look into it, that we can draw from it, and realize that we can win the day spiritually because of what your word says. You have made it clear that we are victorious in you, that we are overcomers with you. So today, may we begin this day knowing that we are winners in Christ, that we can win each day as we stand in your strength, as we take the way out, as we walk in prayer and praise with our hearts set on you and our minds set on you. Lord, I pray for First Baptist, from the youngest to the oldest, that each of them would rise each day knowing that in Jesus they are victors, that in Jesus they are winners, and they can win every day. So when nighttime comes, they can lay their head down and realize that they have won the day spiritually. But we also give you thanks that in those days where we do slip up, that you make it clear that, Lord, you are faithful and just, and that when we come to you and say, Lord, forgive me, you forgive us. You make us new to begin anew the next day. Lord, we give you thanks, and in your name we pray. Amen.